Friday, October 31st, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 15 through 20, with part two of yesterday's message titled, Private Discipline, Mutual Discipline, and Church Discipline.
He does this every week by convicting your conscience when I read the law. And you open his word mutually. He has sent to you in your life all kinds of brothers and sisters and influences to disciple you. What a blessing a church family is. And then he's given you his church to keep you through word and sacrament ministry, exercising the keys. You are here today because of his very discipline.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Think of how many people in life we completely disregard because of sin and offense. And Jesus' challenge, I told you this is not easy. Nothing's easy about Christian discipleship. But the true character of the Christian, the true character of the mission in denying our own greatness, which was the whole thing that prompted this thing, the true character of the Christian shines here, that they are to be in us our primary objects of mercy and compassion. It's the very thing that happened this morning. Now, let's just almost get emotional. God didn't wait for you and what you did this week to come to him. He constantly does this to you, calling you back sweetly. So what Jesus is saying, what an encouragement to boldness and an encouragement to love. When you privately see somebody erring in the life of the kingdom, in a personal offense, you're not really looking out in the world. Jesus most certainly confronted the sins of people in the world. That takes a different kind of strategy. Jesus is speaking of believing little ones. He said that, I think, in verse 7 here. Those of his flock, he's looking at his flock. Jesus is looking not at the world. Jesus is looking about Christians. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another, right? So this is his focus here. He's looking at those among your brothers and sisters who've slipped into some kind of sin, evidenced in the way that they sinned against you. And for those of us closest to the person, maybe a parent, to neglect this is not love. To avoid the very discipleship in our homes, we are called to this. To lovingly go to our brother and sister, our daughter, our son, our granddaughter, grandson. That's always amazing at funerals. When you had a very strong, believing grandparent or great-grandparent, how many of those children, in their wayward ways, deeply respected them when they came to them along the way? It's a great testimony. And Jesus frames this in the positive. It's not in the negative, in the sense for when the sin is addressed, there is early, it's a real benefit that they may hear you. Softness still. This is everywhere in the Bible. Where do I begin? My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins follow when people go through the hardening process and it just gets harder, right? Brothers, if someone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him. With the spirit of gentleness, we always focus on the last, which is absolutely true. But hear it, you should restore him. You should restore him. This is the way. Again, when we don't do this, it's like watching a sheep stray from the fold and say, farewell. I hope you do well. That's been our approach. That's not love. Think of the kind of person, though, who does this. I mentioned the older one at a funeral or memorial, but if someone is in sin, I can tell you the greatest people in my own life are those who have come to me with this kind of concern, who had the courage to do it, And even if I rejected it deep down, I respected that person. I may have never said it, but I respected that person. For between the four eyes, I could see they loved me and they cared for me instead of ripping me elsewhere. I say this along the way. There are many points of departures in my own life. Few ever did this. And those who did are heroes to me now. But now we move to this accountable solution. Let's just say they don't hear you. Let's say they reject you. Jesus presses us here again on discipleship, on true discipleship. One pastor said, what we have laid out here is a path. It begins with, this is the title, self-discipline, and then it moves to mutual discipline, and then it moves to church discipline. And with that path in mind, Jesus says, don't give up. Don't give up. He doesn't with us. Tell me in your life, when you have seen what I'm about to describe here ever done. Part of the great challenge to discipleship is simply trusting our Lord in the wisdom he's given us. If only for the honor of his name. You again see Jesus' wisdom. You will only follow this next step if indeed you really love the person and are concerned that this sin has to be addressed because it is that big of a deal because of the path you see them on and because they are little ones going astray. It says in verse 16, but what if he doesn't listen? Well, if he does not listen, take one or two others with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of the two or three witnesses. That's the Old Testament principle from Deuteronomy 19, that matters are established when two or three witnesses agree as to the nature of the wrongdoing, right? So typically we might say something, but then it stops. But Jesus says, no, keep going with this. Don't give up on this. Take two others. You can hear the thought in Jesus's here words. Godly people, take other very important people, Christian people who are convicted with the same concern. And the wisdom of this is this. It brings a weight to the concern. And if they agree that the sin has been committed, the witnesses, you see what's just happened, it's directly confronted with the same sort of greater weight of accountability, the hardening process that's happening in the heart. When other respected brothers or sisters are brought in, godly followers of Christ are brought into the equation, their hardness of heart is met with a greater weight of a call to repentance and somebody not thinking it's just your personal vendetta. It's combat. It's combat against the hardening process. Christ says, if at that point you've done that, after you've done this, you've exhausted those avenues, then you bring the matter to the church. What a church man Jesus was. I have to say that today. He had a really good ecclesiology. It's put on full display. It becomes an elder matter. You see the point here, almost always elders have to pick up the pieces on very complex things when none of this has been followed. And Jesus calls all of us to disciples to be about going after the erring sheep. It's a church, it's a community, it's a family, right? Because that's exactly again what he did. The church then at this point has the solemn responsibility to exercise the keys of the kingdom if there's no repentance. And so Jesus says, if he refuses to hear even the church, let him be to you a heathen and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That means when the church exercises what are known as the keys of the kingdom through discipline, lovingly and purposely going after a sheep, Jesus just said, that's heaven's position. It's not an individual thing where you just stand off in the corner and say, I disagree. It's heaven's position. When they are cast out or the person is restored. See, hopefully the weight of being brought to the church finally will so combat the hardness of the heart to draw back the erring sheep. That's always the goal. That's why restoration is always the goal. And that's why discipline has to be exercised. Listen to the Heidelberg Catechism, question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven closed and opened by Christian discipline? According to the command of Christ, those who, though called Christians, profess unchristian teachings or live unchristian lives, and after repeated and loving counsel, refuse to abandon their errors and wickedness, and after being admonished by the church and its officers, fail to respond to their admonition. That's right out of Matthew 18. Such persons the officers exclude from the Christian fellowship by withholding the sacraments from them, and God himself, Matthew 18, right here, excludes them from the kingdom of Christ. Such persons, when promising and demonstrating genuine repentance, are received again as members of Christ and of his church. Always the goal. Along the way, I have come across many people when the church exercises the keys of the kingdom with church discipline. And I think this is the silent position, just to be very frank, that the process is mean, that the process is cruel, shaming, and shouldn't be done whatsoever. No discipline. Well, I agree that it should be done in love. But if you ask Jesus about this, what do you think his response would be? Your approach is effectively denies his whole plan of recovering sinners. That's what you're doing. It's the very purpose of Christian discipleship. And his discipline for you has always been as a son or daughter, right? My sons, do not despise the what? Discipline of the Lord. For whom he loves, he does what? Lets them go? Chastens. The modern approach of never doing discipline, which is so common today in the Church of Jesus Christ, is the death and curse of any church. It's the death and curse of any church. God doesn't bless churches who refuse to discipline, who put up their fist at God and say, we refuse to discipline wayward sheep. It denies his mission. Remember the context. A real disciple, a disciple is one who leaves the 99 on the mountains when they're safe and good and goes and gets the wayward sheep. This is how. It equates to this. It equates to the straying sheep and discipline. And Jesus gives, to close us out, a confident perspective on this. Have you ever thought, maybe the reason we don't see the fruit of response the way that we would like to when we discipline is because our whole attitude toward it is wrong? That we've neglected the sheep, but to appreciate that this is the Lord's plan for recovering the sheep, when met with faith and confidence and prayer, good fruit will follow. Here's the mystery to this today. Jesus says, when it comes to exercising discipline, casting them out, their status changes. They move from being inside the covenant community to being outside the covenant community, on par with the tax collectors and the heathen. And that sounds harsh to us. But this is exactly what the Apostle Paul expounded on in 1 Corinthians 5, when that man who was sinfully involved with his father's wife, they did nothing about it in the church, probably all tied to family. Nobody wanted to say anything. And he said, listen, the next time you come together, deliver such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That what? He might be saved. You're doing nothing is not promoting their salvation, right? That's what he was saying. Put them back into the realm. Cast them back outside of the covenant community, where there's the loving protection of the covenantal status and the benefits of God's loving care of his flock. Put them back out there that they might be saved. He said, what? That's counterintuitive. That's faith. It's a mystery that when they are put out, guess what happens? They have opened themselves up to all the direct assaults of the evil one. And in the mystery of this, this is what the Lord has told us is the best place for them in their hardness of heart. That when they face all the sorrows of their choice, and they are outside, then they might wake up. But us, you know, doing nothing, they're not going to wake up. That was the prodigal in the pigsty. Left his father's house. One day he's in the slop of the pigsty and he's eating the pods which pigs ate. And he wakes up and looks at himself and says, what in the world am I doing? Yeah, that's exactly what this is about. I'm going to go home. And the father killed the fatted calf. The father threw his arms around his son. And Jesus encourages us to this. If any of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. What he's saying is, I support your decision on this. Well, there'll be many naysayers, but I support your decision. It's not a personal Bible study verse where two or three are gathered. The aim here is where two or three are gathered exercising the keys of the kingdom, I'll work on with through that. I'll bless that. That's the model. Going after the 99, leaving the 99 and going after the one. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us enough to put this in place for us and our children? If they wonder, Jesus says, do this. If they stray, do this. Trust him. Pastoral application. For those of you who have a loved one who's strayed, maybe a child, he cares about that covenant child. He cares for your wandering sheep more than you do. And he put this in place for them. He came after you, right? Where would you be without discipline? Do not despise the discipline of the Lord, my children. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, disciplines. Privately, he does this every week by convicting your conscience when I read the law, and when you open his word. Mutually, he has sent you in your life all kinds of brothers and sisters and influences to disciple you. What a blessing a church family is. And then he's given you his church to keep you through word and sacrament ministry, exercising the keys. You are here today because of his very discipline. That's how much he loves us. You want to be his disciple or not? then you have to deny your own greatness. To get your hands dirty. This is what he has put in place for you and your children's good. And if you never really want to see it get to the church, then be a part of the process is the encouragement. Join the cause. Can't be on the periphery. Get to the discipleship early in someone's life. We do our best as pastors, we fail. It doesn't all rest on us. We can't. We need you. The elders need you. The deacons need you. So I ask in closing, do you love his little ones? Are you willing to go after them? Then it will start by believing and implementing what he put in place here. The other way is to leave them alone and wandering. But Jesus loves his sheep too much for us to stand in that way. Thank him for his shepherding love. Thank him for his care. He loves his flock. And what was the end verse of 14? Let's park on that to close. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your discipline in our lives. Forgive us as parents and leaders that we have been embarrassed and compromised on this. Forgive us and help us to have courage. We know that the Christian life is not easy, and we need your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom in how to do it. There may be a million scenarios here, O Lord, where questions arise. May we commit this to prayer to you, and may we follow your wisdom and care for your flock. Forgive us where we have failed. We've done not good in this area. And as a church, may it please you, Lord, as we implement the keys of the kingdom, may it receive the support of your flock for the recovery of wayward sheep. Thank you, O Lord, for your disciplining love in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning into us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris as he continues his series in the book of Matthew. Thanks again. Until next time.